Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10, your daily dose of news with no opinion, no slant. I just tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. Hope you had an awesome Labor Day that was not laborious and you're ready to start this week off strong. Let's get our minds right so we can shine bright. Your 10 minutes of news starts now. We begin in Afghanistan, where rescue efforts are underway following a deadly 6.0 magnitude earthquake striking the country's mountainous eastern region over the weekend. At the time of this taping, local media outlets are reporting at least 800 deaths and thousands more injured. Officials fear those numbers could rise as relief teams make their way to the remote communities. Many of the people have been cut off by landslides and roads that have been destroyed. Neighboring China has pledged to assist with disaster relief efforts. The quake's epicenter was just over 15 miles from the city of Jalalabad, home to some 200,000 people. But towns and villages up to 100 miles away reported feeling strong shakes as the entire region endured a series of strong aftershocks. Afghanistan has a long history of powerful earthquakes. In 2023, a deadly 6.3 magnitude quake left more than 2,000 people dead in the country's western region. Now to some new developments in the ongoing saga to get much-needed aid to Gaza. A flotilla, aka a fleet, of ships that were carrying humanitarian aid meant for Gaza was forced to turn around just one day after departing from Barcelona, Spain. The flotilla consisted of about 20 ships with delegations from 44 countries and was expected to grow to as many as 70 ships by the time it reached the waters off Gaza. The organizers say rough seas and high winds forced them to turn back, but that they still plan to sail for Gaza at a later date. They also say it will be the largest attempt to break through Israel's naval blockade of the region to date. That blockade has been in place since 2007 when the terror group Hamas took control of Gaza. The ships are carrying food, water, and medicine, and activists on board are demanding safe passage to deliver the much-needed aid, including Swedish political activist Greta Thunberg, who previously tried to reach Gaza by ship in June before being stopped by the Israeli military and being deported.
The question here today is not why we are sailing. This story is not at all about the mission that we are about to embark. The story here is about Palestine. The story here is how people are being deliberately deprived of the very basic means to survive.
Israel has stepped up its offensive in Gaza, limiting deliveries of food and basic supplies in the northern part of the enclave after declaring Gaza City a combat zone. This war began on October 7, 2023, when Hamas attacked Israel by taking more than 250 hostages and claiming the lives of 1,200 people, most of them civilians. The Palestinian-run Gaza Health Ministry says nearly 2 years in, Israel's war has killed more than 63,000 people, with at least 332 Palestinians dying of malnutrition. That includes 124 children. 10-second trivia. What unit is used to measure the height of a horse? Centimeters, inches, feet, or hands? If you said hands, high five. One hand is 4 inches. The measurement was standardized in England by King Henry VIII in 1540. Horses are measured from the ground to their withers, or highest point of their shoulders. Any equine measuring less than 14.2 hands is considered a pony. If you've ever visited New York City, you've probably seen those iconic horse-drawn carriages in Central Park. But local government officials are considering a ban on the popular tourist attraction. Supporters of the ban now include the Central Park Conservancy. One quick warning, though, some of the images and video in this next report are tough to see. CNN's Lee Waldman has more.
Hey, good morning, good morning.
It's a familiar sound in Central Park. The carriage horses and their drivers welcoming tourists and locals into the heart of the city.
I think it's a misconception that, you know, oh, we're just a holdover from when everybody had horses. No, this is something that's always been special.
For more than a decade, Christina Hansen has been a carriage horse driver in New York City. She also sees herself as an advocate for the working animals that are under a new wave of scrutiny.
The Conservancy has sort of taken sides with the animal rights activists because their timing was clearly designed to help push this anti-carriage horse ban bill that we've got. I know.
The nonprofit that maintains New York City's iconic green space, the Central Park Conservancy, is pushing for a ban on the carriage horses, but not for animal rights reasons.
The horse carriages have been an ongoing issue, and really it was a couple of safety issues in May that really brought it again to the fore.
In her letter to the mayor's office, Betsy Smith described two instances in May where carriage horses broke loose from their handlers, writing, "The risk to public safety can no longer be responsibly overlooked."
We have 40 million people use the park. Things like that are very, very unsustainable and worrisome to people.
The Conservancy also points to damaged infrastructure from the horse carriages and sanitation issues from what's left behind by the animals. It's the first time the Central Park Conservancy is adding its voice to the fight over the decades-old tradition.
There is something iconic about the horses in the park. We feel sympathetic to that. But actually trumping that is our feeling that we have to manage the park to make it safe for everyone. And these issues really together made it really the point.
Ultimately, it's not up to the Conservancy or the Carriage Horse Union. The decision on whether or not to keep horses strolling through Central Park lies with the mayor and the city council.
You can't think of a worse place to be for a horse than on the busy streets of Manhattan.
Councilman Robert Holden introduced a new piece of legislation hoping to ban the practice by next June. For him, it's an issue of animal safety.
Day in and day out, they're pulling carriages and they're suffering. And that's why you see horses drop.
His bill, Rider's Law, is named after a horse that collapsed in Hell's Kitchen in 2022 and was later euthanized. Earlier this month, another horse collapsed and died on the street after working in New York City for less than 2 months. Drivers like Hansen say these issues are isolated, that their horses are cared for and have strict safety regulations.
It's my hope that this is an opportunity for the city council, for New Yorkers or whatever, to remember, like, what we're actually all about here and what kind of protections that we have.
Now, Holden says that he would like to see these animals replaced with electric carriages, but the union who represents their drivers say their animals pose no risk to public safety. Instead, pointing to the electric scooters and bikes that rush through this area, they say they are a greater risk to the pedestrians who frequent this park. We asked the mayor's office where they stand on this issue. They said Mayor Eric Adams is working to find a solution that's good for the animals and for the people.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10 shows love and appreciation for all of our redheaded friends in the world. Redheads from across the planet flocked to the Netherlands this weekend to celebrate their fiery locks at the annual Redhead Days Festival. Thousands of attendees from more than 80 countries embraced all things Auburn, including redhead-specific makeup tutorials and skin cancer prevention workshops. The event started 2 decades ago when a local artist put an ad in the paper for red-haired models for a project. He got such an overwhelming response that he brought the group together for a photo, and the event has grown ever since. It set the Guinness World Record for most natural redheads in one place, more than 1,600 posing for a photo. The event is free and open to the public each year, but if you want to be in one of those iconic group photos, you have to be a natural redhead. I will not have that problem. Our first shout-out today goes to our friends at Clinton Massey Middle School in Clarksville, Ohio. I had some great banter with Miss Wellman on my social media accounts about what the T in T-shirt stands for. And from our YouTube channel, this shout-out goes to Mr. Bielby at Shenandoah Middle School in Shenandoah, Iowa. Rise up. Tomorrow is Your Word Wednesday. Follow me at Coy Wire on the socials. Put your unique vocabulary word and definition in the comment section of my most recent post. We'll choose a winner to work in tomorrow's show. Be sure to put your school, city, and state in there too, please. Thanks to everyone who's been commenting on our CNN10 YouTube channel for your shout-out requests. Have a terrific Tuesday, y'all. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN10.